Bless the Lord, O my soul, because of countless things, benefits and mercies and forgiveness and so on. You might wonder, how does that affect the sermon title? But it's all about that. If we don't understand the mercy and the forgiveness of God, we cannot have loving relationships with fellow human beings. I'm sorry. That's step number one, is to find and experience the reality of the love, the mercy, the grace, and the forgiveness of the Almighty God. So, God help us as we relate together in this local congregation. And I want to also welcome everyone here this morning. And I do want to take a moment as well to thank those that went to Honduras for your, and I was sitting there thinking what I'm going to say, for your sacrifice. And I thought, well, I'm not sure. It was probably more fun than sacrifice, but you did spend money for tickets and worked hard there. Your labors will be recorded in heaven. And you'll get a reward for that, unless you already got it, which I don't know if you did or not, but that's usually how it's supposed to work. So thank you for that. I also wanted to reflect just a few minutes or a minute on our trip last weekend. We weren't here, and we made a trip to Pure Life Ministries for the graduation of David Martin. And I was very moved to be there. I was really moved. They have a big group of men that are there because of the bondage of sin. And the testimonies of the power of God to me was just exciting. And the air was charged with passion. I love going places like that when there's a whole group of people that are passionate about Jesus and what he's doing in their life. It is so uplifting and so inspiring. But we were there, and then the next day we went to the ark that Mr. Ken Ham built. And it was all I could do not to weep when I walked through those doors. And you start out with the pictures of the Garden of Eden and all the beauty, you know, that we can imagine that was there, the perfection, being in the presence of God, walking with God like the Bible tells us. Having a loving, compassionate relationship with the Heavenly Father. No blocks, no hindrances, no sin. And then some of the next pictures were Adam and Eve walking out of the garden with their heads down, troubled looks on their faces, fear on their faces. And you see the picture there of Cain and Abel, and he was there with a rock in his hand, just ready to kill Abel. And you see the progression, the descent into darkness. It just broke my heart when I thought about that. God of the universe that created humanity for his pleasure and for a relationship, a loving relationship, fell into sin and walked away from God, and the horrible, horrible things that have resulted because of that. And I think I may have referred to this the other time I shared, but when Adam and Eve sinned, I think they understood what they did. I would think so. They were able probably to see down through history and see the chaos and the pain and the suffering that was going to result from their terrible sin. Just a little tiny sin, wasn't it? But it was terrible. And God in his great mercy gave them a promise at that point and said, I'm going to provide a redeemer. And so very powerful testimony that the ark is, if you ever have the opportunity to go there and just allow your mind to go back in history and think about what God did with Noah and his family and how he rescued him through the ark and the flood. But anyways, I don't want to take too much time on that. Today I want to talk to you about loving relationships in the local church. My last sermon, I don't know if anybody remembers, my last two sermons started with the letter L. Any guesses? Maybe you remember. Hopefully you do. Somewhere in your brain. I spoke to you about light. And the last time, 3 weeks ago, I shared with you about life. And those are both prerequisites for love to flourish in a person's heart. And it just seemed as I was, I think it was Friday or sometime, I had no idea what I was going to share this morning. And I'm like, okay, I don't like to feel like when it happens like that. But it seemed like there was supposed to be another kind of, somehow or another, it seemed like there was supposed to be another L. And this came to me, loving relationships in the local church. Any one of the children want to come up here and recite Ephesians 4:32 for us? I don't see any hands. You want to stand and recite it with me? Do you know what? Does anybody know? Maybe I should ask what Ephesians 4:32 says. Starts with "Be ye kind." Now do you know? Stand up, children, and let's say it together. And say it out on the top of your lungs. Okay? Come on. Do you want me to read it first? And then I'll read it first, and then you can say it with me. Okay? Ephesians 4:32 says, and just wait till I read it, and then we'll say it together. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Say it with me. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Thank you. You may sit down. So this will be our focus for the sermon today. I'd like to give you just a little backdrop to this verse. First of all, there is more to this verse than just good feelings and, you know, we love each other and we're feeling good and everything's great and happy, you know, happy, happy. No. Well, yes, that goes with it. But God is actually wanting to develop this in His church for what reason? Somebody tell me, why should we be kind to each other? Why should we be tender-hearted and forgiving and loving? Why? Maybe I'm just... Yes. Yes. To demonstrate His character and also to... And what are the two supernatural expressions of the church today? I haven't brought this up for a while, but I tried to hammer that into your heads. I'll see if it's still there or not. Two supernatural expressions of the Church of Jesus Christ today that are under the most direct and severe attack of the enemy. What are they? Vision? Division. That's the result of the attack. But what are the two things that are supernatural expressions? Yes. Elam. Pardon me?
Unity.
Unity? Yes, that would be a that they may be one. That the world may know that I came from God. That's one of them. What's the other one? Yes. "By this shall all men know that..." Say it. "You are my disciples." Those are the two things that tell the world. Well, the first one that tells the world that Jesus came is the oneness in the body. So if you want to discredit God's plan for the universe and His church, you will go straight to that one. Because if you can get rid of the oneness, now we no longer have a testimony of the power of God. And that Jesus came from heaven for the salvation and the redemption of humanity. Okay, so if you're "by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one for another." World looks at Christian Light Fellowship and says, "Wow, they love each other. That doesn't even make sense." Or, "Wow, they all say the same thing. That doesn't make sense." You have a group of people like this, and they're all saying the same things, and they're all loving each other like crazy. That's a pretty contemporary term, but they all have that agape, sacrificial. They would lay down their lives for each other. What's going on there? I think I'd like to have some of that. And so the stream from Bedford, this is what God wants to do with His church. If you didn't know it, you'll know it after today. But God is setting up a testimony. He's setting up an example of this great love walking around here on planet Earth. And He puts it within each one of us individually. When that group of people get together, it's magnified and empowered, and the testimony goes out. And people say, I'd like to have some of that at Christian Light. I hope that's the case. That's what God wants to do, at least. How often, and I know I've referred to this before, how many of us have, when we think of church, we get warm, fuzzy feelings, or we get cold, reactionary feelings. It shouldn't be that way, but it is, isn't it? Many times when we think about our church experience, if that's what church is, I don't want anything to do with it. That is the result of the enemy having gotten in the doors and destroyed the love and the unity that God wants to develop. A backdrop to this verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This was Ephesians 4. Paul, as he wrote through Ephesians, I think the word love is used, I looked it up, what was it now? Not quite as many times as in John, but it's used very frequently. And so Paul was writing to the Ephesians from the standpoint of wanting to see the Ephesian church display the character of God, not only on this planet Earth, but also out into the universe, the spiritual world. He wants to send them a message as well. Look what I've done. I've sent Jesus to this lost planet, this planet that's going astray, the people that are falling away, that are hating me. I have sent them my love, Jesus, the gift from heaven, with love from God. You know, we send out we package up a box and we send it out to someone and we put on there, with love. That's what God did. He sent Jesus with love. Endeavoring to keep the unity till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Are you that perfect man this morning? Are you that perfect woman that Paul was writing about here? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then the grand finale, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So, just in plain words, God put all of us together in this congregation. He connected us all together for His habitation. Is that how you see Christian Light? Or do you just see Christian Light Church as, you know, Sunday morning we got to go to church, and we'll go to church and we do our thing, and then we go and do our real life. God wants to make this His dwelling place. I'm sorry for any ones of you that do this, but I always cringe when I hear it. Welcome to the house of God. Just please forgive me, but I just always cringe because I'm like, this is not the house of God. You are the house of God. I'm not scolding. I'm just telling you, you know, kind of personally how I feel, but welcome to the presence of God. When God's people come into this church house is not the house of God. It's a piece of junk. We are the temple of the living God. We are the house of God. And when we do that, we're like, okay, now we're going to go to God's house. It gives a wrong connotation. We are the house of God. When you get up tomorrow morning and you're going to work, a house of God is going to work. You understand? I hope I'm not too radical there. But we are that house of God. We're put together as a group of people to provide a dwelling place, corporate dwelling place, for the Holy Spirit to manifest His power through the expressions of love and unity and all of those wonderful things that God wants to do in His church. Not just so we get along and have good feelings, but that an aroma arises out of this place, out of wherever we are. A sweet smelling savor of the presence of God. That's what God wants to do with each one of us. When you walk out into this fallen world, when you walk out into the debauchery and the chaos, I am so excited for men like Nicky Cruz. He will target the worst place of the city and will go in there, set up his things, and present Jesus in the worst place. Worst place. There's bad places in this country, in the cities of this country. God wants to do that with you and I. Maybe not what He's doing, but He has a place for it in your life as a person. He purchased you. You are His property. Amen? You're His property. He paid the price for your redemption. Not just so that you can have a good time and good feelings, but He wants to dwell in you so that when you walk into the presence of evil, that people will say, "Whoa, here is life, here is light, here's something I don't have." Our carnality wants to just fade into society and become part of them. God has called us out of the world into the glorious light of His presence. For redemptive purposes, it's not about you, it's not about me. Remember, I am dead. I am crucified. Nevertheless, the life I live is not me, but it's Christ in me. Probably some of us came here this morning with walls up. I was sitting there thinking, I didn't go down this path very far. But we put walls of protection around us. Do you have walls of protection around you this morning? When you go, when you think about going to church, coming to the presence of God, wherever it might be, you close the door, make sure everything's closed off, and then you put on this pleasant veneer, and everything's great. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. While there's a big wall that you're hiding behind. God, help us to tear down those walls. You cannot experience the fullness of the love of God if there's walls in your life. Jesus came specifically to tear down walls, which should be the passion of our hearts as well as His children, as His followers. Let's get rid of the walls in our lives. I so much appreciated what Jeremy shared about the honesty. God meets us at the point of honesty. Somebody asks you, how are you doing? You can say, well, and if it's not going well, you can say, well, how much time do you have? You know, would you really want to know what's going on? And then if he does, why, sure, let's talk about it. And it'll be a perfect opportunity to connect on the heart level and to have loving, compassionate relationships that should take place in the body of Christ. So when you think of coming to this group of people, you think of, wow, I wonder, how can I bless someone? How will I be blessed by that person? It's more than just going to church, getting our Sunday clothes on and making sure we're clean and everything, you know, is in order that way. That may be included, but it's much, much more than that. Heart connections is part of the loving relationship part. I can tell that I'm not going to at all get through today. So I won't bother trying. I kind of have a pet peeve with preachers that I'm not going to get through, and so they put it in high gear and just pour out the information. It doesn't make any sense. You're going to lose everyone anyways, and they're not going to remember it. So we'll just go through whatever God wants to use me for. Lord, have your way here today. And by the way, one of the things I would like to do, I want to try to provide time for this at 11:45. So I'll try to be done by then. I would like to provide an opportunity for you to love your neighbor here this morning, to love the person next to you. And if you have a lot of walls up, this is going to be difficult to do. I'm not going to force you to do it, but I'm going to ask you to do it. So however you want to take that. But I would like for you, while I'm talking to you, be thinking, and you can do this, you be thinking about, how can I pray for my brother, sister next to me? How can I pray for them? And God may well give you something that He wants you to pray for that person. He does that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything. If the Holy Spirit is in you, He can give you revelation. He can bring a thought into your mind, and you can pray that over that person. I want to give opportunity for that. If you have a need in your life, and you want someone to pray for you, if you want the person next to you to pray for you, why be prepared to tell that person, please pray for me for this. Not for Honduras, not for the government, for you personally. Something that affects you personally. Because I know that we all have those things. We all have brokenness in our lives. Let's just be real about it. I know it's true. You know it's true. Let's get rid of the walls. Let's get rid of the veneer. And be real. We always enjoy that when that happens, right? We had church. We were real. We were honest. We were open. And God meets us at that point. And we want to meet with God, don't we? So that's the process that has to take place. A willingness to become vulnerable, open, and personal. And the reason I'm going down this path is because this is how loving relationships are developed. You can have superficial relationships. You can have casual relationships. But loving relationships, in the context of the love of God, there is nothing that can take the place of that for your personal spiritual development, and also for us corporately, for God to develop us corporately. In my work, I make connections. A lot of connections. Actually, I would take a piece of steel and put the welder there and burn it together. Doing it all the time. Taking raw materials, putting them together into something useful. And so if you're bored with your work, start thinking about it that way. Hey, I'm taking raw materials, cutting them up, putting them together, nailing them, welding them, gluing them, mixing them. Ladies, you're making products that are useful for humanity, hopefully. And then take it a little farther and think, well, you know, there's a lesson in this. God wants me to do that in the spiritual. How can I do that with my children? Cut them apart, put them together. You know, I hope you understand what I'm saying. But you're taking raw materials, you're forming them, shaping them, making them into something useful. And you take it a little farther. God wants to do that with me. Raw material. I'm raw material. You're raw material. We're all raw material. God is the perfect potter. He takes it, puts it on the potter's wheel, and starts the wheel and starts, you know, making things happen. Producing something useful. And then He puts us in the oven, and He fries us, makes us, I don't know, what's the analogy there? I'll just let that. But He makes us into something that has backbone, that is strong, that can go out and carry this water of life, this vessel, this water of life that's in the vessel. He makes bottles out of us. How glamorous is it to be a bottle? I'm Mr. Bottle Pate. What do you think people would, if you would say, hello, what's your name? Mr. Bottle Pate. It would be a good way to get attention. What do you mean? Well, I'm just a bottle. I'm full of the life of God, but I'm just a bottle. I'm dead. I died at the cross with Jesus. God will fill those bottles if they are that way, if they're dead. You know, bottles are a dime a dozen. They're just cheaper by the dozen. They're just plastic bottles, glass bottles. But they're very useful to bring hope, to bring life, to bring water to the people that are thirsty. I propose to you, if you're desiring the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you must die. Many people are desiring the Holy Spirit in their life, but they don't want to die. Jesus said, I'll go back into my other sermon, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. No life can come forth except it dies. Anyways, making connections. So one part of my work is when we get the trailer back from the painter, put it in the shop, we pull the wires off the spools, and we cut the wires, and we start making connections. We put them together with butt connectors and shrink them, and hopefully to be able to keep a good connection. There's a power source, there's a light, there's a connection. But I send a trailer to New York, and up in New York, they have lots of salt this time of the year. And if the connections are faulty or maybe not done right, a little bit of salt gets in, it is not long at all till that connection gets broken. And the connection becomes useless and there's malfunction. Churches are continually malfunctioning because connections are broken. I just talked to someone recently about this in a church situation, where the church is right on the verge of going to pieces. And I said, look, it's because we don't love each other. We have lost our love for each other. God help us. We have lost our love for each other, and the enemy comes in and destroys the church. It starts with the love, the love connection between each other. And so let's shore up those connections because we're vulnerable just like that. Connections are broken and then doctrine takes the blame. The church falls apart. But in all reality, what God sees when He looks at, many times what He sees when He looks at a church like that, they lost their first love. First of all, the love towards me, and then the love towards the brothers and sisters. And when that takes place, there's disaster. And we try to go about our way and bringing unity into the body of Christ by same doctrine. I'm not knocking doctrine at all. I believe in good doctrine and one doctrine. But we try to fix the relational problems with doctrinal teaching and things like that. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. God designed His body, the Church of Jesus Christ, to function under the power of love. He is love. You might think, well, we're hearing about love all the time. Well, we should. There's other things included. And you've heard me preach long enough to know that I believe that. Jesus said, these two things are the most important. And He would tell us here at the church at Christian Light, on these two commands hangs everything else. Love God, love your neighbor. Those two things are the most important. Not saying that there's not other things that are important, but those are the most important. Salt in the connection. So when you walk with a friend, you walk with your wife, you walk with your parents, you have loving relationships, things are going good. One morning you get up and you're feeling grumpy, and the children are grumpy, and somebody's throwing up, and we overslept, and it's cold outside, and the car doesn't start, and who knows what. A whole bunch of things conspiring to come into that love connection and destroy it. That's real life. There's a stress and strain of relationships. Relationships, close, intimate relationships, no matter on what level they are, will come under stress and strain. It's normal. And so We just have to accept the fact that even in church, you know, you talk with your brother, I don't agree with you. No, you're wrong. What happens if we're not very well cured? If, you know, if we're still pretty soft on the potter's wheel, we're going to take offense. Maybe that's a good point for that one. We're going to take offense. We're going to say, he doesn't like me. And then we start spreading stories about each other, and it just escalates from there. And finally, the friendship is completely broken, and we go our separate ways, and we have contention, and it keeps growing in the body, and it's like a cancer, and it just... Satan is laughing his head off. He just loves when that happens. I've destroyed another church. I've destroyed another life. I've destroyed another family. I've destroyed another individual. As followers of Jesus Christ, our hearts are broken when that happens. And we will be quick to see the beginning, the beginnings of that kind of thing, and hopefully nip it in the bud. What is the foundation of loving relationships? He that is in the light, I found this interesting, and hateth his brother. How is that connected? Walking in the light and hating my brother. The fact of the matter is, if you're walking in the light, as he is in the light, God has clear access to your heart, love is flowing, you won't hate your brother. You won't. Walking in the light, you'll love your brother. He that foundation for loving relationships is one of them is walking in the light. Beloved, let us love one another. For, can you say it? For love is of God. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The reverse would be true as well. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Do you see? Do we understand? I'll just talk a little bit about this one. The importance, the value of forgiveness and the humbling effect of my forgiveness from God. So this is what happened to me last night, and I would encourage you to do this. And not to, you know, blow my own whistle, but I went outside last night in the dark. It was, I don't know, maybe 7:30 or 8. Went up to my favorite spot up on top of the hill, and I got a blanket. I laid down. Yeah, it was cold. I put some clothes on. You can do it. And laid out, looked up at the stars, and was just praying. And I, for whatever reason, started thinking about my life. I went the whole way back. Now, I can't remember this part, but I know it happened. I was conceived in my mother's womb. And I thought of myself as a little piece of life. God, a little bit of your life that you put within me. The Almighty God of the universe saw that life, and he loved that life. But a little tiny speck of life. And then I just walked through my life, and I thought of all the things that I did, all the sins that I committed. And God graciously forgave me, every one of them. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who wrote those words? Was it David? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? And I think David probably did the same thing. When he was out there with the sheep, he would think of all of the things about God. And one of which was the forgiveness of his sins. David was a born-again Old Testament Christian, if there ever was one. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He understood what God, who God was, his mercies that are everlasting. And that's why you have, if David was the author of Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. He that has been forgiven much will love much. If you don't think you've been forgiven very much, I've been pretty good. I grew up in a Christian home. I've been a pretty good person. You do not understand. You do not understand the depth of your sin. And you cannot love without understanding the depth of your sin. That's what Jesus was saying. It's not that any one of us hasn't been forgiven much. We've all been forgiven tons of sins. I personally, because of my own sin, should have been stoned to death. And I'm just like, God, I should have died for my sin. Because of how he feels about some of the sins that I committed. And it's true for you as well. We've all committed sins worthy of death. And we need a great forgiveness from the Heavenly Father, from the Almighty God of the universe. And God graciously, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were hating God. We were talking back to God. We were resisting God. We're telling God what to do in our lives. And God is here. Here's my love. I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to take your sins on myself. I will take your sins. I will take them to the cross. I will shed my blood as the perfect sacrifice. So awesome. The Old Testament animals could not take away sin. But Jesus, the Messiah, can take away every sin. What are the dimensions of God's forgiveness? They're limitless. He'll forgive your sin. Far as the east is from the west. He can save to the uttermost all those that come to God through Jesus Christ. God loves us because of Jesus Christ. And yet we are so proud and refuse to be broken before Him. It's unbelievable how proud we can become and how unbroken we can become. And judgmental we can become. We do not understand the love of God. We do not understand the forgiveness of God. God wants us to make us into an expression of Himself. Yes, there's truth involved. Yes, there's justice involved. But God is love. He's everlasting love. He's incomprehensible love. He's love beyond anything that we can imagine. And when we finally enter His presence, we will fall on our faces in worship because God is love. And we will see that love in greater and greater dimensions throughout all of eternity. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You must have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your spirit, in your body. You must have the power of the Holy Spirit in order for the love of God to be able to flow through you. There's no other way. There is no other way. It's shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And just a little bit about myself. As I look back over my life, I think it was one of the things that I just, again, felt sorry for last night. Even as a preacher, and probably 10 years down the road, I'll think, how could I be so unbroken in 2018? But that's the process. But looking back on my life, as a preacher, standing up here, unbroken, trying to do the work of God through the arm of flesh, how can we do those things? God in His mercy continues to squeeze us. He continues to put His hand upon us, and He develops us. If with our cooperation, He will develop us into these gracious, merciful, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another type of people. That's what He wants to do. So I'm going to stop for now and maybe continue it later. But I would like to just I'll open this time of prayer with you before the Lord, and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and visit us and to show us and help us to be sensitive and honest. If you say, oh, I can't do that, that's fine. Just put your head down and pray. And but I'd like for anyone, you can do that with, even with your children. If you feel God is putting something on your heart for them, just pray a blessing over them. Pray something specific for them, whatever. So yeah, just once I'm done praying, just look around. And it can be your wife. It can be anyone else. It doesn't matter. So, Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you that you are here with us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we take a few minutes to just open our hearts before you, I invite you to come and impress upon us how to pray for each other, to love each other, and to foster your love in our hearts for each other. Thank you for not treating us like we treat each other, Lord. And I pray you'd forgive us where we have mistreated each other and we've not exemplified the love of Jesus. And we thank you for your patience with us. And I pray for each one of these brothers and sisters that you would put within them a word for each other, willingness to be honest. And we just bless you and want to take a few minutes to exercise this privilege to love each other as you have loved us. I pray against fear and just rebuke any spirit of fear that's here, any spirit that is unclean. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Lord, may your Spirit flow amongst us. You are the shepherd of this congregation, and we worship you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.